someone else made the comment that we never work together anymore, or actually said, when are we going to work together again? I said, you know, I don't know. I got one foot out the door.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John? Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. It was nice to get away for a change.
Yeah.
To go somewhere where the average temperature was 50 for a week.
You don't like 94 in fucking May?
No. No, it's horrendous. However, the one thing I don't miss is the traffic up there. I mean, people down here are just stupid. People up there would rather see you dead than let you merge. They deliberately try to cause accidents.
Jesus.
So, yeah. But yeah, it's good to be back into the 90s and soon to be hundreds. In the dumbest state in the country.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know. But you don't long for retirement to Boston?
No. I don't. And I feel somewhat, I don't know, guilty about not being up there, but it's like, oh, the weather's horrible. The people are horrible. It's like there was one day, well, we're on the South Shore of Boston and out in the suburbs, and I usually make a trip into the city and take the train because it's easier than trying to park and stuff.
Right.
And they had a problem with one of the tracks going from our side of town into the city, so you had to stop after three stops and get on a bus to take you to another station that you could then get downtown on. And it's like, what the hell?
Jesus.
It's like, you know what, I'm good. I don't need to go in. I'll just sit here on the couch and watch CSI reruns.
So you didn't go into the city at all?
No. Well, I mean, we went into South Boston one day,
yeah.
The one day that the sun was out, and it was still pretty chilly, but that was it. We walked around the old fort and had some food, and that was it.
Did your Boston accent come back when you were there?
No.
Oh.
No. I survived. Not dropping my eyes.
No. Park in the car.
Park in the car. Have you seen my khakis?
I did see a video on Instagram the other day of a small child with a Boston accent, and
yeah,
there was a guy like it cuts to a guy looking mortified, and his pregnant wife is behind him, and he's like, "That's what our kid's gonna be." And she's like, why? What are you talking about? And like thick Boston accent.
Uh-huh.
And like the kid's like, I want to go to the park. And like, he was just like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this with my kid.
I mean, you can teach them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't have a New Jersey accent at all.
Right.
Like that's right. That always, like, people are like, you're from New Jersey? You don't sound like you're from New Jersey. And I'm like, well, that's a stereotype. And that's like one town in North Jersey where they sound like that. And that's because they're all from New York.
You mean you didn't grow up putting lots of gel in your hair and
going
to the tanning salon?
And I grew up in that time. Like that was definitely my time period. And no. Uh-huh.
Right.
Nope. But I also, as a child, I could not pronounce my R's.
Okay.
So I went to speech therapy as a child, and they kind of taught me how to speak again. So that I believe that's why I do not sound like I'm from New Jersey. And I also think that's why I can't roll my R's. Like, I cannot for the life of me roll my R's. Like, if you're trying to say something in like Spanish or something, I can't do it. And I think that's why. I think it's because I couldn't do it as a kid. And they just like beat it out of me.
Well, accents aren't funny. I mean, there's some accents that I like, but I think these days with so many people who have that vocal fry going on where they like can't really finish a sentence and they, you know, they do that weird Kardashian thing. It's like, no, they have classes for people like you. But no, I'm very glad I had speaking lessons in school.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like I have benefited. Oh my God, maybe I can't talk. I feel like I benefited from that speech therapy, because like people where I did grow up with had like a slight Jersey accent, and I don't at all. And so it's always, I always feel like they did me a great service of like teaching that out of me.
Right.
So do you have any strange like plane stories or anything?
No. It wasn't bad at all. I mean, going up, it was a full flight, but I still had my window seat and the person next to me wasn't a total asshole. And then coming down, it wasn't a full flight. And I kept waiting for somebody to get the middle seat. And like, they shut the doors and nobody came. It's like, yay.
I'm surprised, like going down, you didn't have like problems, because it's always going to Orlando that seems to be like has the most problems. I remember when I lived down there and like flying home and stuff, it was always going home that it was like, this is gonna suck.
Yeah, I usually try to take one of the later flights out.
Oh, okay.
And I think most people who are coming down on vacation want to take early flights so they can
maximize
get away.
Their time.
Yeah, so I lucked out this time.
Nice.
Yeah. No fist fights, no screaming kids. It was pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, that's been my last couple of weeks.
Nice. I've just been working and, you know, keeping sane, doing creative things on my own.
Well, you know, that's good because, you know, the CEO of the company you're working for deserves those $40 million bonuses. And
oh, he doesn't get that. We're too small of a company. No.
Oh.
No. Which is fine. Whatever. Whatever.
Maybe you should ask him for a $40 million bonus.
Yeah, there you go. So we do have to, since you're back, we do have to say goodbye to somebody who died this week.
Yep.
A staple of 70s and 80s television and movies. Dabney Coleman died at the age of 92.
And, I know. What a good life.
And if you do not know him and you haven't seen 9 to 5 or Tootsie or War Games or The Muppets Take Manhattan or any of the other hundreds of things that he was in, you're doing yourself a disservice, because he is one of those people that like went from comedy to drama to, you know, intrigue. Like, he was in Cloak and Dagger, and like he ran the gamut of acting style. So, I mean, and he worked nonstop up until his death, up until 2019.
Yep. He did an episode of Yellowstone.
Yeah.
He even did a music video for Ally and AJ. That's exciting.
Ooh.
And Pound Puppies, four episodes.
But I mean, like, if you look at like the 70s and 80s for him, like, where does it really start? I mean, he does a couple of episodes of Mannix, Macmillan and Wife.
Bonanza.
He does 148 episodes of Mary Hartman, 130 of Forever Fernwood, which is something I had never heard of.
It was a spinoff of Mary Hartman.
Okay. He does five episodes of Barnaby Jones, and then like his movie career kind of takes off. And like, he just doesn't look back. Like, I think my first foray into Dabney Coleman movies was probably 9 to 5. That was on repeat in my house growing up, as one of those things that my sisters watched all the time. So him as Franklin Hart is like engraved in my mind.
Yep.
And then like War Games. I was a huge War Games fan growing up too. So, and he was in that. Well, I guess he goes back to TV for 26 episodes of something called Buffalo Bill after War Games.
He played a sports reporter in that.
Okay. But yeah, he was not afraid to jump back and forth.
Nope.
You know, it was wherever the work was. And I think a lot of actors could, like, you know, learn from that. I forgot he was in the remake of the Beverly Hillbillies in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, 92 years old. Good, long life. Good for him. I mean, not that he's dead, but it's a hell of a life.
Yes, it is.
And
good for him.
I always laugh because Internet Movie Database is really quick to update your death date, but not your biographic information. And so under his mini bio, the last line says, Coleman is still very active.
No, he's not.
Nope. Nope, not anymore. According to this, he wasn't married either. He's divorced twice.
Yeah, I think his second divorce was in like 84.
Yeah. So he was probably like slutting around town with all like the success that he had in the 80s.
I don't know. I have never heard any dirt on him.
No?
No.
Okay.
Nope. He was only worth $5 million. I'd like to be worth $5
million. Yeah, me too. Yeah, $5 million is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, and he's probably working for scale for most of the stuff that he does.
Right.
I'm sure once he comes out of, like, you know, the real popular time and he transitions into an older actor, he's not commanding, like, a huge paycheck. And he probably wasn't commanding a huge paycheck in the 80s either.
Right, because nobody was.
No. No, there were very few people making millions of dollars per picture. And it was usually the, like the Schwarzeneggers and the Stallones and stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, so he'll be missed.
Well, thanks for the laughs.
Yep. So in your couple of weeks off, did you watch anything new, exciting, fun?
Yes.
Okay.
So finally finished off Bad Batch.
Yeah, what'd you think of the finale?
It leaves some things open, but it wraps things up pretty neatly.
Yeah.
You know, it leads you into the sequels.
Yeah, and it very much leaves off, I guess, with Omega going off to fight with the Rebellion.
Right.
I'm assuming that is Luke's Rebellion. Like, somehow she's a part of that, although we don't see her in any of the original movies.
Or do we?
The clones stay on that island, I guess, to live out the rest of their lives. It was a little weird that, like, the only one that you saw kind of older was Hunter.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of felt like there should have been, like all of them saying goodbye to her. But I don't know. I don't know if this means that we're going to get Omega at some point as an older version of her, like post-Empire in like the Mandalorian universe. Because the Mandalorian stuff is very much in line with the Omega storyline of, you know, Palpatine's journey to become immortal with Force clones. So she fits into the narrative. Whether or not that becomes a, you know, Ahsoka and Sabine make it back from the other galaxy, and they're amassing this force of people, and somebody says, "Oh, I know somebody that we should talk to," and it's Omega. Mm-hmm. And you know, then you get Tamara Morrison to come back to play the older, like, Hunter or whatever.
Right. Well, and they like completely wasted Asajj Ventress.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the kids that she meets early in the first or second episode.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you had some opportunities here. I mean, maybe they're coming in the future.
I wonder whether or not they knew that it was the last season going in, and instead of them planting seeds for the future and like future seasons. Mm-hmm. And then they got to the end and they're like, well, now we have to put in a coda of like what happens to Omega, because, you know, we're not going to get a chance to tell this story anymore. I don't know. I honestly can't figure out whether or not they knew this was going to be the end because of the way that it's structured. But I don't know.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought, for the amount of time they had to tell the story, that it was told very well. You know, the last episode is almost an hour long.
Right.
So they really like knew that they had to stick this landing and not just like throw something together and like the clones land and Omega's escaped and they just meet up and they fly away. I mean, they take care of a whole bunch of people, so. You know, they kill off the doctor and they get rid of all the information and, like, basically destroy that base, so.
Yeah. I don't know. It was good. It was a good way to end, I guess.
Yeah.
Also watched the first two episodes of Doctor Who.
I've only seen Space Babies.
Oh no. Because there's a lot to unpack on the second episode.
Oh, okay.
Space Babies was funny.
Space Babies. So it really seems like, I think he's pronounced it Nkuti. Mm-hmm. They're really kind of leaning into the fact that like he's a more out there doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're kind of leaning into the absurd a bit more, at least in that one episode.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, like, you know, when they get to, when they get to later on in the season, I haven't seen the second one, so I think it's just going to get more and more absurd, which is fine, because that's what Doctor Who's yep. about.
Right. Yeah, you'll have to watch the second one, and we can talk about that, because okay. there's some stuff.
Okay.
But, yeah, that, and we finished Young Sheldon.
I heard about that, and it ends with the father's funeral, right?
Yes, which was weird, because I always thought in Big Bang Theory the father left, and then he died.
Okay.
So I don't know. The second to last episode with the funeral.
Yeah.
Was pretty somber.
Okay.
However, there is the actor who plays the father has a cameo in the funeral scene in the church.
Oh, I saw that. He dresses as like a woman or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was kind of funny. But I did not know that the woman who's playing Sheldon's mother is Laurie Metcalf's daughter.
Oh, really?
Really? It's like, oh, so that's why she was so close to the crazy mother, Mary.
Right. What,
but it was interesting. The very last episode has a lot of Jim Parsons and Mayim Bialik in it.
Okay.
Which I was kind of surprised.
I was just about to ask if they show up.
They do. And I thought it was just going to be like a short cameo thing, but they had like several scenes that they kept coming back to. It was okay. Sheldon's still Sheldon.
Yeah.
They have a son named Leonard who's a hockey player, which he doesn't understand. And Mayim Bialik mentions that their daughter wants to be an actress. And Sheldon goes, I knew we should never let Petty babysit. But yeah, I'm glad it's over.
So did they go out where they should have? Because, like, Big Bang overstayed their welcome by a couple of years.
Yeah, I think they spent a lot of energy this last season setting up Georgie and Mandy.
Okay.
For their sitcom.
Oh, there's a spinoff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I didn't realize that there was another spinoff of a spinoff.
Yeah, that starts this fall.
Oh my God. Okay. And what's that one going to be about?
Well, Georgie knocks up a 27-year-old. They have a baby when he's only 17.
Oh. Okay.
So they were kind of dealing with that most of the season. And, you know, the baby, the mother-in-law, it was very against her having a baby and kind of threw her out of the house, and that kind of relationship I think they're going to build on in the new one.
Is that ever brought up in Big Bang Theory? That, like, Sheldon's got a nephew from like his brother knocking somebody up?
I don't remember it ever coming up.
Okay. That's weird.
Yeah. But yeah, ran for 7 episodes.
Okay.
But yeah, so the new one's gonna, it's, I think it's called Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage.
God. Alrighty.
So, yeah. Let's see.
Have you watched any of Star Trek Discovery?
No,
No? Okay.
I haven't caught up on that yet.
Okay.
I did watch Dune Part 2.
Okay.
I did not really like that.
I'm telling you, it's a hard movie to watch. It's
You know, I
beautiful.
almost feel like it, sure it is, but there were choices that made it so hard to watch, like the soundtrack, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I did not like it as much as the first,
Right.
because I think Dune would be best as like a big budget 16 episode miniseries.
Yes. Yep.
So you can actually get all of the characters out.
Yep. I agree.
Because like Anya Joy-Taylor's character, his sister, he didn't really see her in the first one, and now all of a sudden she's an adult, and yeah, I don't think this one was well done.
I didn't understand the idea, like, so they build up in the first one, Zendaya is like barely in it, right? She's
Right.
in and out of dreams. Paul Atreides is like, I don't know who this woman is, but like I'm totally attracted to her and blah blah blah. And he meets her at the end and there seems to be a connection between them. And then this entire movie, there is a I love him, I hate him. He's the savior. No, he's not. I love him, I hate him. Well, you know, he's the savior. No, he's not. And there's just this like back and forth the entire time with her. And it's like, pick a lane. Like, you're confusing the audience as to, like, are you cutting this out of order? Like, there was this whole weirdness between him and Zendaya the entire time. And it's like, just cut that all out then. Like,
Right.
I'd rather see 2 hours of the Fremen and being led by Atreides, attacking the Harkonnens, spice stuff, and like those battles were the coolest part. But you would cut out of that into like walking through the desert and just talking about feelings, and it's just like the movie's too long for this. And you know, and they ended the first movie on kind of a cliffhanger when they weren't really sure whether or not they were going to get to make part two. And so
Right.
they make part two and they leave you on a cliffhanger for part three. And it's like, okay. I mean, yeah, we're getting off Arrakis finally and like all that shit, but like, I don't know. And I know I'm probably in a minority. But I do not like what's his name? Hang on.
Javier Bardem?
No, he's fine.
Oh.
He's kind of proved himself. Let me look him up real quick. I don't like Austin Butler as an actor.
Yeah.
I know everybody gave him praise for the whole Elvis thing. But everything that I've seen him in, I'm like, dude's really wooden.
Yeah.
Like I am not a fan of him at all.
No, and I think Sting played that character much better. It just, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they spent enough time developing the characters.
No. No, and it's over 4 hours of film that they really could have.
Right.
And I don't know. It's funny because, like, if you watch the original 1984 one, they tell both parts in a single film, and it feels, even though like David Lynch's vision was way out there, it feels like a more complete story to me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the second film felt way too artsy for what it should have been. And it was kind of slow.
Yeah. Oh, it's very slow.
So, yeah. I mean, there are characters who play a bigger part in Paul Atreides' life, and they just didn't develop any of that.
No.
Any of that. I mean, like, one of the best scenes in the first movie, in the original movie, is when you see the navigator for the first time.
Yeah.
Which I don't even think they spoke about in this, but it's a sentient creature that mentally is empowered to basically steer spaceships. And it comes, this huge tank the size of like a giant train gets rolled into the palace, and they roll back the windows, and there's this creature floating in it. And I mean, they didn't do any of that character development.
No, all the character development in this is the Harkonnens.
Yeah, and they should have been in the first one.
Right, and but like you're taken to like the Harkonnen homeworld for like whatever Austin Butler's character is, like his 21st birthday or whatever it is, where he's like killing people. And it's like it's nice that you're fleshing that out, but like you're two movies in, that should have been part of the first thing. So yeah, and the baby talking to the mother is a little weird, like I don't know. Yeah, it's I think Denis Villeneuve does a really great job of visually showing you the world. All of the movies that I've seen from him seem so super slow. Like The Arrival, like, is a good film with an interesting twist in it, but it feels like it's super long. Blade Runner 2049 is a good film, but it feels super long.
Mm-hmm.
They both have, all of his movies have these great visuals, and it's like he's a great visual person, but not a great storyteller in my estimation. And I know, like,
no,
you know, my voice might be like not a popular one in this discussion, but like I am the person that he should be making this movie for. And if he's not capturing me and you and like other people that grew up around the same time that like science fiction, he's missing the mark.
Right.
So I don't know.
And so much of it was so deliberately slow, like when the Harkonnens are attacking Arrakis and they're like gently falling out of this troop transport. Yep. And it's like, why are you? And even like the fight sequence with Fade Rautha, it's like that could have had so much more impact. And I don't know, I just don't feel that they did it justice. And then after the first couple of novels, things get really freaking weird. It becomes very, very sexual, and you know, the Ben Gesserit are actually controlling the lineage of royal families because they can control their uteruses to produce either a male or a female child. And
right.
Yeah.
I mean, and like you cut out, well, I don't know if they cut out, but like you hire these people, you hire like Florence Pugh and Christopher Walken to be in your movie, and they're hardly in it.
Right.
Like I felt like they kept going back to the Florence, the Florence Pugh character just so that they're like, look, it's Florence Pugh and she's in our movie and she's right. popular right now and you should come see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, I think it's a decent movie for what it is, but I just don't, it's not something that I'm ever going to go back and rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
I think stylistically, I think like the production of the movie, all the props and the costumes and that, the visual effects and all that, I think are super well done. I just don't like the story.
I did not like the sphincter worms.
Well, the sphincter worms are a bit much.
I didn't think they worked. I didn't think that they were used in the right way. I mean, they just looked horrible. They looked like the damn popcorn bucket. But yeah, so there's that. Did you see the news out of New York that some random guy punched Steve Buscemi in the face?
I did see that.
That's kind of weird, but apparently there have been a lot of like random attacks on odd people.
Wasn't there another one of those not too long ago with an actor?
Rick Moranis.
It was okay, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Why would you punch Rick Moranis? Come on.
I don't know. It was like some 50-year-old guy. It's like, what are you doing? There was another story about there's this kid who plays the violin in the subway.
Yeah.
And there's video footage of this woman kind of standing in the corner of the platform glaring at him. She walks over, grabs his water bottle, and smacks him on the back of the head and walks away.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Why are people so angry?
I don't know. Well, I know why I am.
Well.
But yeah, it's really weird stuff. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
No. He's Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, what has Steve Buscemi ever done to anybody? I mean,
exactly.
whether you like him as an actor or not, like, why would you go up and just punch somebody?
Very weird.
I wonder whether or not, you know, with all that's going on in New York these days and the politicians trying to say that, oh, there's so much crime in New York and like New York's this rotten cesspool of a city. I wonder if their listeners, their followers are trying to make it that. You know, there's not enough of it going on, so they're just going to punch a random person. It just happens to be fucking Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. I don't know. Very weird. Very weird. Things are only getting worse.
Yeah, well.
Yay! Have you seen the new Airbnb offerings?
No.
That you can spend a night in the Up House or the X-Men 97 mansion.
I saw pictures of that mansion.
Yes. And now they have Edna Mode's hideout.
Oh, it's called the Icons?
Yep.
Wait, is the Up House on a crane? Do they like?
Yes.
They pull you up into the air?
That's what the pictures show. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
What the fuck? Wait, what's the thing with Kevin Hart? Can you like hire him to like sleep in his house?
No thanks.
The X-Men mansion might be worth it.
Yes.
That looks cool. Spend the night in the Ferrari Museum? Okay. Does it tell you what these are, though? Join VIP with Kevin Hart. Chill with me at a members-only pop-up Watch an A-list comedy all-stars turn up for tequila time.
Tequila time.
Okay, so I guess if you're a Kevin Hart fan, that's a thing to do. There's a Purple Rain house.
Yep.
Oh, the X Mansion's already sold out.
Oh.
Hang out in a radical 2D world. Train in the danger room. Try Cerebro and explore Beast of a Lab. And the host is Jubilee. My work, protecting humanity.
I think it's pretty cool.
That is very cool. All right, so the Up House.
And apparently they only cost about $100.
Really?
Yep.
The house has 8,000 balloons floating from the top of it. Get to know Dear Ellie. Don't forget to look up. Take a look around. Don't touch anything. I'll straighten up. Pretty nice, eh? You'll arrive as junior wilderness explorers and endure many adventures to earn these badges. Airbnb brought Carl and Ellie's house to life to celebrate the 15th anniversary of Up for another adventure. Catch Inside Out 2, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't really say, like, are you sleeping in these houses or is it just like an experience?
Well, they have bedrooms.
I mean, the Up House is recreated in amazing detail. Like, if you look at the pictures on the inside, I mean, it's amazing that, like, they went through all that. But, yeah, there's bedrooms.
You can take some of Carl Fredrickson's pills. I don't know how you would stay in it, though. Because it looks like a museum piece.
Yeah. Well, so does like the X Mansion and stuff.
Right.
Home Alone holidays?
Oh, there's going to be an Inside Out 2 house. Coming in June.
Jesus. Can stay in the last Blockbuster. Shrek Swamp. I mean, it's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
So you
That's
could,
pretty cool.
So the Shrek one is actually a sleep there. Because it was booking for one or two night stays for up to three guests. And that's the only one that I've seen that actually talks about like staying. What about Barbie's Malibu Dreamhouse?
The X Mansion says your stay will be packed with training, cool experiments, secret mission briefings, a class photo, and more. And when you're wiped out, crash in my room, Wolverine's, or one of our dorms. I guess this is written by Jubilee.
Right.
Oh, and Wendy and Lisa are hosting us in the Prince room.
Oh, okay.
Because they're trying to be relevant.
Wow, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, apparently they built a bedroom in the Museum d'Orsay in France.
I was just looking at that, like sleeping in front of the big clock.
Yeah.
That looks kind of cool. Is the Olympics in Paris?
Yep.
Okay, because one of the things for this is watch the opening ceremony from the museum's rooftop terrace.
So I wonder if it's just a one-day thing.
I don't know.
Like one or two nights, because it doesn't say how many nights are available. Like, is it, you know, you just kind of say you want to book it and you go into a drawing?
I guess, because it doesn't open for 43 hours, like, to book it. And it says 2 guests, 1 bedroom, 1 bed, 1 bath.
Right.
For one night only, like Marvelous Apparition, the clock room will become your bedroom, adorned entirely in wood paneling from the Versailles parquet floor to the vaulted ceiling. The space is designed as a daydream. The oversized glass and steel clock offer unparalleled views of the city, enhancing the beauty of the Parisian night. Your bed, suspended above the ground and the city, is the masterpiece. Two luminous ceramic flowers frame the headboard, while expansive, organically shaped sofas create a private lounge ambiance. So this is a one-day thing for France.
I wonder how they've monetized it.
I don't know.
Because it seems kind of weird that, you know, I mean, Disney tried the $5,000 a night hotel and that didn't last.
Unless it's all just so that these things get whatever, you know, media attention.
Yeah.
Just to be like, oh, this is the Airbnb thing. That's interesting. I mean, I do know, like, I have seen, like, commercials and ads for Airbnb and Vrbo or whatever the other one is, where people are doing themed houses, but, like, it's not just a 1 or 2 day thing. Like, there's a bunch of, like, horror houses and, like if you like Halloween, like, this is, like, the biggest Halloween collection on whatever, and you can
there's a lot of weird ones right around where I am. Like, there's one McMansion that's all like candy themed. Like, you can sleep in the Reese's bedroom or the Hershey bedroom, or, you know. And then they've got some that have, you know, Disney characters, and some that have superheroes, and some that have like Nickelodeon characters.
Right.
But they're an awful lot.
Right. And I mean, I can see, like, if, you know, Orlando being the place where that happens, because you have all of the theme parks and stuff. And right. So people are going to want to try to capitalize on that and say, you know, you don't have to stay on the property of whatever theme park you're going to. We have themed houses too.
Right. And they have like arcades and they have game rooms and, you know, pools and all that stuff.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. But like, I don't know, like the Up House would be cool if you could, like, you know, book a week there.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever, just to have some fun. But I don't know, maybe one night is enough.
Yeah, could be. Have you seen the new McFlurry? It's called the Grandma McFlurry.
No.
It's based on all the treats Grandma has in her pocketbook. So it must taste like lint and like stale peppermints and stuff.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. Oh. It features a delicious syrup and chopped crunchy candy pieces blended with vanilla soft serve.
Is it really soft serve, though? Or is it fake ice cream?
It's the same fake ice cream you get at Dairy Queen.
Yeah, well.
It's all corn syrup. Corn syrup.
Yep. Didn't they used to find that, like, the McDonald's ice cream had, like, the same ingredients as, like, instant potato or something?
Maybe.
Like instant mashed potatoes? No, I'm going to have to look it up. Potatoes. The untold truth of McDonald's ice cream. Let's see. So in 2017, they changed the recipe. Changed as part of a massive menu overhaul designed to get rid of artificial ingredients. While they say the soft serve is already free of artificial preservatives and colors, the recipe change ditched the artificial flavoring. So maybe it used to have like potato stuff in it and they've changed it.
That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I worked at McDonald's for like 2 months when I was in high school, and I don't think I ever touched the ice cream machine.
Well, isn't the big joke that the ice cream machine's always broken?
Yeah. Because I think it's a pain in the ass to like clean and stuff, so they just don't do it. You know, it's easier to say, no, it's down. But I mean, if I'm picking ice cream from a place to eat, it's not going to be from McDonald's.
No?
No.
You're not in a mood for McFlurry?
No. Because it always, whatever you get in the McFlurry, whether it's like the Oreo McFlurry, you get a little bit of the Oreo shit mixed into a ton of the vanilla ice cream.
Right.
And then it's just not the same.
Have you ever had a Dairy Queen, I think they call them a concrete? Where it's very... Very similar to a McFlurry, but the big thing is like they stick the spoon in it and then they hand it to you upside down to prove that it's all like mixed and frozen in there.
Yeah. I've had those. They're okay.
Yeah.
They're okay. There's a place. Well, you've got one down there too. Culver's. Culver's sells frozen custard. Which is really good. Like, I'd rather have frozen custard than, like, ice cream.
Yeah.
Or even frozen yogurt. I mean, you go to one of those frozen yogurt places where you can, like, top it with a bunch of, like, crap that's really bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why go to McDonald's for ice cream when you could do that? Probably cost the same.
Right.
Since everything's fucking expensive now.
Well, we have Twisty Tree right down the street. So.
I was in a Publix today. I don't know what's going on with chicken prices, but I was going to pick up like a couple of their chicken tenders, like the cold ones that they sell.
Yeah.
And for three of them, it was $8. And I was like,
yeah,
what the fuck? Like a week and a half ago, it was $5. So I don't know what the hell happened. In that time that they shot up that high, but something's going on with chicken.
Yeah.
If chicken goes away, my kid will eat nothing. Because that's all she eats. It's all about chicken fingers.
Right.
Good times. I am 3 episodes into X-Men 97.
Okay.
Slow and steady wins the race, so when I have time, I'll watch one. But there just seems to be, like, I don't want to really sit in front of a screen after sitting in front of a screen all day for work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, my viewing habits have dropped off quite a bit. Because if it's a choice between watching something and, like, working on a 3D print, I usually do the 3D print. And I have made a ton of shit in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah?
Yeah. I did, well, I made a bunch of Dune props because, while I don't really like the movies, I do like the props. So I made a thumper and a sand compactor and a Chris knife. Do you remember a anime from the early 80s called Star Blazers?
Yes.
So it was one of my favorite shows growing up, and I found a file of the ship.
Okay.
In the United States, it was called the Argo. In the original, it was called the Yamato.
Yes.
So I made a Yamato that's about, I think it's almost 2 feet long. I mean, it's big. And then I made a gun from Star Blazers, like their regular sidearm. I finished a bunch of stuff that I've printed and, like, didn't paint. So I've been kind of busy after work and stuff. So.
Wow.
Yeah. It's better for my mental health. Stay busy.
Yes.
I need to finish all my helmets. It's the one thing
you
I'm lacking.
You should wear them during Zoom calls.
Oh, I do with the family. when we Zoom on
no,
Monday
nights.
No, I
need work.
Well, I really should. The next staff meeting that we have that I'm actually home for, I will wear, like, my Boba Fett helmet and see what their reaction is. Not
That's
say anything.
Funny.
Just, you know. You know, what do I care? I did so being that we're in South Carolina and I'm an asshole, I have put things up behind me in order to see if anybody notices during like staff meetings and stuff. And since it's South Carolina and there's a ton of religious people here, I have a satanic temple logo that sits over my left shoulder for staff meetings. That you can clearly see is a satanic temple logo. I also have a thing up on the wall that looks like a ticket, and it says 666, and it says one soul to hell on it. And that sits where you can see it. And I'm just waiting for people to be like, what is up with Chris?
Wow. Then they'll start praying for you.
Okay. I also have an evolved fish up that you can see. But, you know. I have a shirt that I bought a while ago that is, you know, the evolution, the monkey,
uh-huh.
Then it's like a monkey standing more up, and then it's a dude with a spear.
Yep.
I have a shirt that is that, but the last guy is leaning over watching a 3D printer. And I went out wearing that shirt a couple of weeks ago and got dirty looks from all the old people. Because
Why?
Apparently, because it has
evolution.
Evolution? Yeah. And so my daughter told me that her science teacher taught them evolution in science this year. And so he's constantly like, throwing little evolution things out to the religious kids, and like, so I made him an evolved fish for next year so that he can put it up on the board. And he wrote me a big thank you. He's like, I love that. I'm going to put that right up where everybody can see it. I mean, she's got some winter teachers that I am very looking forward to not having in her life anymore.
Yeah.
She has a social studies teacher that has the title of doctor. I don't know what of. It's obviously not history, because my kid told me the other day that she had watched the beginning of Top Gun in her class in social studies. And I said,
okay.
Why? And she goes, the teacher wanted us to see it. And I said, like, when they're fighting the Russian jets? And she was like, oh, no, we didn't even get that far. It's just the beginning when they're being shot off the aircraft carrier. And I said, wait a minute. South Carolina history? And she was like, yeah. I said, what was she teaching you? And so she says, she was going over the Doolittle raid. And I was like, World War II? And she was like, yeah. And I said, what does that have to do with South Carolina? And she was like, nothing. And I said, okay. And so she says, my kid says, yeah, she said that the reason the Doolittle Raiders ran out of fuel was because they didn't have modern jets. And I said, okay, it's time to have a little history lesson. Because my father, who was in the Navy, served aboard the aircraft carrier that was named after the Doolittle Raid. So I am very well versed in the Doolittle Raid.
Right.
And basically, I was like, do I say anything or do I just let this go? And so I wrote her a big long email and I said, I just wanted to let you know that, like, what you've taught the kids is wrong, that this is what the history of the Doolittle Raid is. They didn't run out of fuel because they weren't modern jets. They ran out of fuel because they had to launch early because they thought they had been seen. And so they still wanted to attack the Japanese, and they knew it was a one-way mission. And so they went anyway. That's what you should be teaching the kids, not Top Gun. And so there was like a 2-day lull in communication with her. And then she writes me back and she goes, well, I got that information out of a World War II museum. And I said, well, then the World War II museum is wrong. And so we went back and forth for a couple of days. And I was just like, you're a history teacher that doesn't know history. And that is the epitome of fucking South Carolina education.
Right.
Like, I'm sure it's everywhere, but this was like in your face, like the kids should know what actually happened and not like your version of history because you were too lazy to fucking research it.
Right.
And I said to her, so if you even want to tie this all into South Carolina, there is a way to do that. They practiced short runway takeoffs in Columbia, South Carolina. That's how you tie this all back to South Carolina history. And she was like, oh, I didn't know that. I was like, what are you doing?
Wow.
I was like, these poor guys, America, who got into these bombers thinking it was a one-way trip and actually made it home. And you were like, oh, they just didn't have modern jets. It's like, okay. All right. Sure.
Amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my hope. Hopefully next year when she goes to high school, it'll be all different. Like, she'll have teachers that actually know shit. But this is why I can't just let them teach my kid, because they'll teach her wrong shit.
Yeah. It's like you have to take the class along with them because,
oh yeah,
your teachers aren't doing their jobs.
No, they're just skirting by to get to the state tests and shit like that.
Yep. That's it.
And it's like, but these kids don't know anything. They don't know how to write in cursive. They don't know how to, like, they don't know their history. Like South Carolina history should have been about, like, the Civil War and, like, slavery and shit like that. But instead, you know, I get these messages of like, hey, we're doing a quiz on Nazi Germany. And I went to my kid and I was like, please tell me that she's teaching that what the Nazis were doing was wrong. Because it is South Carolina and I need to know. And she was like, yeah, she was saying that they were the enemy and what they were doing was bad. I was like, all right, good. At least there's that. But yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Ooh, South Carolina.
Yeah. That's great.
Yep. All right. You got anything else for this week?
No.
No? All right. All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. It's been a while since I've done this. Or you can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
God, it's hot.